What a way to start. And we're going to start off the year in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to take a look at this communion meal. There was a time when I was younger in church, and I would look at the first Sunday as just a longer service. I didn't understand communion and what it was all about, and really never heard it taught what it was all about. And we're going to take a little time today, and maybe the first 5 or 6 weeks, maybe the first 52 weeks of the year, and just teach what the Bible says about different things. Amen. This is important. This is one of the two ordinances of the church, of the Christian church, of the Baptist church. I believe our Protestant brothers and sisters would still say that the two ordinances that God gave was the communion and the baptism. We've been able to do both in one day. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. And the title of the message will be A Time for Personal Examination. A time for personal examination. Personal. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look and start at verse 23 and read through the end of the chapter. Let's all stand if we can in honor of God's precious word that has been prayed to us and saying to us. Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may not come together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. When I come. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the communion meal, Father God. Thank you for Jesus Christ who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life and died for the sins of the world. Amen. We thank you, Father God, for our sins being forgiven. We know, Father God, that sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. And a person whose sins haven't been forgiven will be a person left behind. Yes. Father God, I pray today that you would just bless this congregation. Yes. And let someone cry out, Forgive me of my sins, Father. Yes. I need a Savior and I need to be saved. Yes, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 A time for a personal examination.
Yes, sir.
All types of examinations. If you're an accountant, you go to school for accounting, you have to take a state board test. Nurses, mm-hmm. Policemen,
yes, sir.
Doctors. Then you make it a card like this one day. I got this last week. Record I like to receive is from the Colorectal Associations. It's time for an examination. It says the month of January 2014 is time for your recall visit. And you know what I recall going into this? And you know something about this, huh? So what I recall is when I walked in the doctor's office, I can't even pronounce his name, one of them Indian doctors. And I walked into the room and I said, my God, that is the biggest jar of K jelly I've ever seen. And there's a box of gloves next to it. And you guys, you men that have had colonoscopies, you know the rest of the story, and I won't linger on it. I was violated that day. But it was an examination that I had to take. Because I've told you the story, my mother passed away from colon cancer at 57, and she told us all to make sure we get examined. And this is the fifth year. I get them every 5 years now. At first, I was getting them every 3 years, and I have really forgot about it. Cindy probably already called and made an appointment. Looking forward to that. But we're going to talk about another examination.
Yes, sir.
The examination that the Lord Jesus called for us to take. He said we ought to examine ourselves. We need to take a personal inventory. We're going to start the year off getting an understanding of what Jesus was talking about here, what he meant by all this. And there's a whole lot of misconceptions out there, a lot of erroneous teaching, you know, that the bread turns into the body of Christ and the wine becomes his actual literal blood. And I've heard preachers unknowingly make the mistake that says this is his actual body and his actual bread in Christian churches. So we do this symbolically. I was even asked by some members why we wear white on First Sunday and why we wear gloves, because again it's a symbolic service. The gloves and the white represents purity and holiness when we are handling the things of God. Okay, so we look at the Lord's Supper and again we look at it as a time for a personal inventory. How did our year go? We do this on a monthly basis. I've been to churches where they do it on a weekly basis. They do it every week. They have communion. There's no wrong in that. Okay? Why do we do it? We want to look back on our lives. Look back on last week.
Yes, sir.
How was your week? Look back in the year. How was your year? There's some things, some areas in your life that you need to shore up. Okay? Maybe there's some areas in your attitudes and there's some personal things that you need to deal with.
Amen.
Maybe there's some relationships you need to take inventory of.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you may look at your own situation personally. Am I growing?
Yeah.
Am I growing? Am I growing stronger as a Christian? This letter was written to brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. So Paul had to give them this admonition. If you look through the book of 1 Corinthians, the letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians, they were rebuking letters. He Paul was challenging this church. They were making a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a heathen church. It wasn't a Jewish church. It was a church built on with Gentile believers. So they brought a lot of their customs into the church. And this is a gentle an appeal to them. What Paul did say, do it. It's a commandment that he based on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter, 26. But Paul was one who often gave great appeals. And I have one here found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it's one of his great appeals to Timothy, who was facing it, who was up against it, like many of us. And we may not have the same situation that Timothy had. Maybe we weren't facing running the church. Paul had put Timothy in charge of the church of Ephesus while he was going on a missionary journey. And Timothy was intimidated by the prospects of it, all the challenges that he faced. And Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, told Timothy like this. He said, "Look, Timothy," he said, "thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness." Anybody know about that? Endure hardness. I heard Claire praying these things. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And any of you plan on going to the military? We have some people that have been in the military. You don't go to the military. Where's Bobby at? He talks about going to the military, being in ROTC. You don't go to the military and do what you want to do. You don't go to the military and say, "Well, I don't want to get my hair cut. Or I don't want to get my fingernails clipped. Oh, I don't want to wake up at 5 o'clock.
Four.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't want to eat this, or I don't want to eat that." We need to think about these things. Paul's telling Timothy, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do what the commander-in-chief tells you to do. He said, "No man that war entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may," what? "Please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Jesus was a beggar too. He begged people to come to him. He begged people to give their lives to him. You know, when we look at this letter that Paul wrote today, you won't find any harsh words. You won't see Paul being mean-spirited. It's an appeal. Here's one of Jesus' great appeals found in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come unto me." You know, you guys know this. He's pleading with these folks that are on the verge of stepping into hell.
Amen.
He's saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And that's us today. Some of us in here, we can put on a good show. On the outside, we can be smiling on the outside, but on the inside, we are laboring, we are hurting, we are in pain and agony. And Jesus is saying, "Come ye that labor and are heavy laden," what? "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my," what? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, like, we've been in church quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. And it's good. You can say it's good. It's good. It's good for me to be in the house of the Lord. Y'all say, "Well, you're the pastor. They pay you to come out here." No, no, no. It's good for me to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. A lot of times, Cindy and I, after the service, we'll sit in the office and just look at each other and talk. Because it's a place that we find peace.
Amen.
We'll sit in there and talk, as long as we got food raised all right. I love Ray. Let's look at our text. We're going to go verse by verse through this. It's important that we get some understanding of what the communion means, because this should be a time of excitement. We should look at our Saturday preparation. What we did yesterday, it ought to have an impact on today. Or will have an impact on today. We should have been looking at yesterday saying, "Tomorrow's communion Sunday. I get to fellowship. I get to take the Lord's Supper." It ought to be an exciting time. I might say yes. Paul says this. He said, for I have received of the Lord. What's Paul saying? Paul's talking to a corrupt church. In chapter 12 and 13, he's going to rebuke them again for them falsely saying that they're receiving divine revelations from the Lord. Listen, folks, if someone tells you that they're receiving divine revelations from the Lord, start backing up.
Amen.
Okay? Start moving away from that situation. God has not given man today divine revelations.
Amen.
The Word of God is canonized. It is complete. It is closed.
Amen.
Any divine revelation that is still given to man should be found in this book.
Amen.
So if your cousin Isaac or your prophetess friend, prophetess whatever, is saying they're getting divine revelation, they ought to be somewhere in the pages of Scripture. And this is why Paul had to say this, because they challenged his apostolic authority. If you look at chapter 1, Paul had to come out and really be forceful in letting these folks know who he was, because the church of Corinth had what they called themselves super apostles. And Paul had to let them have it. If you go to chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he really gets on. But we're going to stick to the text here. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also have delivered unto you." Paul got his message from the Lord. He didn't alter it. He didn't change it. He gave it to him straight. He says, "As I have received it, also I deliver it unto you." What? What was the message? That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Took bread. Took it from where? Most likely they had it. When they walked through the upper room, there was probably bread out already. And he took the bread as a symbol. Okay? We're not talking transubstantiation here or whatever it's called, where the priest prays a prayer and the bread turns into the literal body and the wine turns into his literal blood. He's not talking about that. He's being symbolistic in this. It's like if I show you a picture of, and I'm on my mother today. I'm thinking about my mother today, probably because I got this card in front of me. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
But if I showed you a picture and I said, "This is my mother." Okay? You're not going to look at that picture and say, "That's your mother for real?" And as if it was her. It's a picture of her. This picture represents her. This picture gives me the memories of her. But it's not her. It's not her. I hope that's plain enough. It's not her. Paul says in verse 24, "And when he had given thanks..." Took the bread. Christ had to pray over his food. He gave it. He blessed it. He blessed the bread. That's some blessed bread, wouldn't it be? Paul blessed. He blessed the bread. And he said, "This bread." He said, "This bread, take it and break it." What's the breaking mean? His body. Body broken. Spit on. Slapped around, scourged, whipped. And that wasn't enough. Stuck a javelin through his side. But the breaking means that it was going to be what? If you have a loaf of bread and you break it, everybody's going to get some. It's to be distributed. It's to be given out freely. And this is what he's saying here. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, take, eat, this is my body." What's he saying? Now, come on, let's be realistic. Couldn't have been his real body because he just had it in his hands. Where did this stuff come from? Study to show yourself approved. A workman, rightfully dividing the word of truth. He said, "It is broken for you." He's given a symbolic message. He hasn't even went to the cross yet. He's on his way. But he's letting them know what's going to happen. He said, I come to die. We know John 3:16, but do we really understand what John 3:16 is saying? So for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. To do what? To die. To die. To have his body broken. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." He said, "Take this bread and break it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of what's going to happen, how I'm going to die for your sins, how I'm going to be brutalized and tortured and placed on that old rugged cross, and nails are going to go through his hand. When we take communion, we're remembering that.
Amen.
We are remembering what Christ has done. He said, do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
Come to the Lord's table like that. How you doing with this examination so far? Can we come to the Lord's table like that? Giving thanks. I know we had a great service today. Folks are being baptized. People are giving their lives to the Lord. People are making a commitment to trust and believe in Christ. That's a beautiful thing. What about next week? And what about February? How are we going to come to the Lord's table? Look at verse 24 one more time. And he said, when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you. For you. And you point around, you look all around here, you die for all of us. I heard Dave this morning teaching in class, and you got some folks teach that God only died for certain people. I don't know what they do with John 3:16. That throws me off.
Amen.
He died for the world.
Amen.
He died for the lost. He told Zacchaeus, and he said, the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and save the lost. That's what he came for. He came to die for the sins of the world. He came to die. He came to die. The Lord's Supper is a time of remembering what the Lord came to do. Psalms 111 and 4 puts it like this. He said, he had made his wonderful works to be remembered.
Amen.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And if you're saved today, if you know Jesus Christ, you're a personal Savior, you've been baptized, you know that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion and mercy. Amen. Amen. And you know what? And again, when you move right over into chapter 12, he still had people, all rebellious people. They still looked at him probably sideways. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. You could be right. You could be wrong. Paul says this in chapter 12, verse 1. He said, not concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. They were ignorant on some things. And when I use the word ignorant, I don't mean it like we use it. You know, you're ignorant. I mean, we use it in a way like you're stupid. You just don't know. This was a Gentile church. Some of them accepted Paul's teaching. Some of them rejected it. That'll happen today. Some folks accept teaching. Some folks won't. Some folks say, I don't like a service with a lot of teaching. Okay? I like to feel good when I'm in church. I like to be moving around. I like it. I like that. Okay? Do you think? Somebody said this church on every corner. Verse 25. He's moving down this. He said, after the same manner he took the cup. Let's talk about the cup now. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What does the blood here represent? Because Christ hadn't died yet. The new covenant hadn't been established yet because Christ had not died. His blood being shed on Calvary's cross ushered in the new covenant, the age of grace. The age of works have been finished. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He was a fulfillment of all that the Old Testament sacrifices meant. He said, it's going to be fulfilled. And it said, in my blood. It was almost like we write in ink. We signed something in ink. We signed all the baptismal certificates in ink. God would have signed them in Jesus' blood. It would have been symbolic of him signing in his blood.
Amen.
Sealed by the blood.
Amen.
Sealed by the blood. So when we look at verses 24 and 25 where it says, be in remembrance of me, or do this in remembrance of me. What's he talking about? Somebody still had that question. What's he talking about? Even Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible. You know what Job said in Job 19:25? He said, for I know. Some of y'all know this stuff. I was talking to Dave. He's like, man, you got good Bible study class. You got some knowledgeable people. And I know we do.
Amen.
And you can just start off with scripture. They can finish it for you now.
Amen.
So Job says this, for I know that what? My Redeemer liveth.
Even back then, Joel was one of the oldest books in the Old Testament. He knew then that there was a Savior coming. There was a Savior coming. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here's a good one. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus knew no sins. He took on the sins of the world. So when you turn on your TV and you hear Creflo Dollar, Creflo Dollar said this, and it ought to burn you. I say it all the time. They give you remote controls for a reason.
Amen.
But you got to know something. See, when you know better, you do better. Creflo Dollar had the audacity. That's one of my mother's words. He had the audacity to say that Jesus Christ was the first born again sinner. That's blasphemous.
Amen.
That is blasphemous. And a true man or woman of God ought to rise up. He ought to rise up in you.
Amen.
Our Savior couldn't have been our Savior. He was a sinner. Couldn't be the first born again sinner. Watch this stuff and pay attention. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Paul again talking to Timothy, his son in the faith. He said, there is one God, Timothy. Remember this when you talk to your buddies that are serving different gods. There's one God. And Paul said this to Timothy, and Timothy might have questioned him about it. Paul, but there's so many people talking about all these different religions, all these different faiths, all these different gods. Paul says to Timothy, stop, boy. I can hear Uncle. I almost hear Deacon Neil talk to his nephews and his grandkids. Stop right there. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Said it in Acts. There's none other name under heaven whereby what?
Man.
A man must be saved. See, these are fighting words. You go out and tell your buddies and your Muslim friends and your Catholic friends and your Buddhist friends, and we got all kind of religions out there, and your Mormon friends and all this stuff. I got some stuff on the table. Listen, these are fighting words. We talked about this morning. I listened to them talking in class this morning. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. He was saying some stuff.
Amen.
See, some of y'all had this picture in your mind of a Jesus that's just a smiling face Jesus. He's not. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was radical. He was saying some stuff they weren't used to anyone saying. He was saying it to the Sanhedrin. He was saying it to the most powerful people that lived at that time. And he was right in their business.
Amen.
And they knew what he was saying. When he said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, them fighting words.
Amen.
What he's saying is you can worship all them other gods you want to. There's only one way to heaven.
One way.
I don't care what Oprah say. Many roads lead to heaven. Oh, this Hollywood way. There's only one way.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you try to get to heaven any other way, you better get a Holy Ghost GPS. That GPS you got going south. Remember this in Hebrews 7:26. He says, for such an high priest became us. What kind of God do we serve? Stepped out of glory, walked around in his flesh. He became us who is holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. That's the kind of God we serve. What kind of God we serve? How you doing on the test? Oh my goodness. Moving right down the text. It's an easy lesson to follow. Jesus is still talking. Paul's just giving it to him straight. Straight. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Two principles you find right there in that text. You show the Lord's death, and you talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, and then you also talk about the fact that he is coming back. He's coming back. And that word show there says you do show. Yeah? You do show. This is what you guys were saying today when you got baptized and you went under that water, you came up, you said, I'm going to show the Lord's death till he comes. That word show means to proclaim.
Amen.
It means to proclaim. It means to let the whole dying world know that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave and is coming back. So when someone asks you a question, we heard this question a couple years ago when I was here. There are animals in heaven. I said, I know one animal that's in heaven. I don't know about all the rest of them, Gio. I don't know about dogs and puppies. But I know there are horses in heaven. Because the word of God said he's coming back. And he's going to be riding on a white horse. So if that helps you, I believe if there are horses, there may be puppies and dogs. But I know one animal is in heaven. And that's horses. Because the word of God says so. Oh, Lord have mercy. He's coming back. And we ought to proclaim the fact he's coming back. We ought to make a public declaration. We ought to let everybody know. This is why I sit here and I talk about Deacon now. And you, I don't care. He's going to tell you about Jesus. And he's going to stop you and pray for you. And y'all listen to Claire pray today. She ain't learned that overnight. You know, you just don't, you know, prayer's hard work. Some of us know that. Prayer is hard work. But it's good work. It's good work. It's good work. Jesus is coming back. And he says, you need to proclaim it. And Paul was a proclaimer of the word of God. That's all he did. We look at 1 Corinthians again, when he's writing this chapter, he's beginning to write this chapter, and he goes right to the business of why he's writing this letter. Because this is what the church of Corinth wasn't doing. They weren't proclaiming Christ. They weren't telling the dying world about Christ. They was caught up. This was a wealthy church, a rich church, a prosperous church. 1 Corinthians 1:7 said they didn't come behind anybody in gifts. They had all the gifts. They had it going on and they were carnal.
Amen.
And you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, they had a husband, a son that was had a sexual relationship with his father's wife. They were taking each other to court. They was doing it all. They was doing it all. This is what Paul tells them. Here's what your main duty should be, church. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 1-5. He said, listen, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. There's that word declaring. There's that word showing. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. And you know what? You have to be set. You have to be prepared to do this. Paul said, for I determined, I made a effort. This was my main responsibility as an apostle, as a church planter. I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Why, Paul? Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. In the power of God. And Sylvia was miming. She said, in the power of God. Not in man's wisdom. You find you a Christian whose faith is in man's wisdom, and they go into church or they love the pastor. When all hell break out in their life, you're not praying to that pastor.
Amen.
You got your TV preacher, and that TV preacher ain't coming to the hospital and laying hands on you. I tell you, lay your hand on the TV. You don't want your faith to rest in the wisdom of man. If the man of God that's preaching to you, life and preaching don't line up with the word of God. In the NFL, they give you 3 timeouts. You take timeout. Let me think about this. Am I growing? Am I being taught? Or am I proclaiming the word of God? I always say that. I always say that. If you can't invite nobody to your church, you probably shouldn't be there.
Oh,
that's right. If you got that much hell going on in your church,
amen,
that you wouldn't invite nobody to come, you probably don't need to be there.
Amen.
That's a barometer that I would use.
Amen.
Got a mess here. I've been to church and some of you women have problems. And not with the sheep. 1 Corinthians 11:27. We moving. Wherefore? Because you heard all that. That's what that wherefore is there for. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, they're partaking communion. We have an open communion here. If you're saved, been baptized, then you're welcome to have communion. Because if you eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, he's talking to believers now. Unworthily, irreverently, okay? Jokingly, it's a game. It's a game. It don't mean that much to you. Be careful. Because my job ain't to examine you, and your job is not to examine me, because you don't know what's going on in my house, and I don't know what's going on in yours.
Amen.
But God does.
Amen.
God does. I know how you spent yesterday. And that's not a reason not to take it. Because there's none righteous. No, not one. But you take it in the event that look, I'm working on this thing, and I need the Word of God. I need to hear God's Word. I need to partake with in the communion. I need to be fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ. There's strength in here. You sit around here and stick around and talk to some of these folks. Talk to somebody that's going through. You going through? How did you get through? God has given all of us a testimony. Up to me. He ain't always been smiling. Y'all understand what I'm saying, though?
Amen.
I ain't know. We've been married 30 years. You find me someone been married 30 years, and they say we had 30 wonderful, perfect years. There's a whole lot of folks in the Hall of Fame that had a couple bad years. You ain't got to bat 1,000 to get the Hall of Fame. Most of them bat 300. That's what's that day? 3 out of 10. What I'm saying is there's some testimonies here. There's some folks that have been through some things. And God didn't give you your testimony to hold on to it for yourself.
Amen.
Share. Talk to these young folks that's married. Some of you young ladies that have made some mistakes. Talk to some of these young girls that's coming up. Listen, 28, going right down the text. Y'all can ask me. I'll be here sticking around. Y'all ain't any questions. Y'all can ask me at the church. I'm not the first one out of the building. Verse 28. We talk about unworthily. But now Paul's saying this. But let a man examine himself. What does that look like? Because you know what's going on. Okay? You know what's going on. You can have a wonderful relationship with somebody, you know, your wife, but they still don't know all your business.
Amen.
Some of us have some thoughts going through our heads and some ideas and all kind of things, and these are the things we have to examine.
Amen.
Am I in the faith? Well, then I would ask a question. What kind of questions would be on that test? If we were to examine ourselves, what kind of questions might be on that test? That's interesting. I found that to be interesting. What kind of questions would be on the test?
Yeah.
Well, 1 Timothy 1:12. Answer this one. Here's Paul again. You know, some of y'all know me. Y'all know I love Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, so if you're a New Testament preacher, you're going to preach a lot on Paul. Listen to this. Paul's talking to Timothy again. He said, for this cause, this will be on the test. Do you know who you believe?
Amen.
Do you know the God that you say you believe? Do you know the Lord that you say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you really know him? Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, for this cause, I suffer these things. You know, it's a suffering business. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you know the God that you serve? Do you know him? That's a word of intimacy. That's a word of intimacy. I talk to mine every day. I talk to Cindy every day. Every day. I call her at work. I call her. I mean, I bought her a Bluetooth for Christmas. Just so I can talk to her. We have to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. Are you growing? Do you know the Lord you believe in? Because everybody says, I believe God. But do you know him? Examine your love for Christ. How is your love for Christ? Remember Peter, when God was questioning Peter, Jesus was questioning Peter. And Jesus will question you. Do you love me? He's asking Peter in John 21 and 16. This is the second one. He said unto him again, what? The second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Jesus is going to ask you that. He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I handed out, well, Deacon Napier did, looking for deacons. My thinking is every man of God, every blood-bought believer, every man in here that say they love Jesus, I believe that they ought to aspire to be a deacon. That's just me. And I know everybody don't agree with me. I just believe that the church should be able to look out and find deacons. It's an appointed position. But, oh man, you got to be 100% on all the qualifications. Working on the building. We all are work in progress. I am too. But when they was looking for deacons in Acts chapter 6, they were looking for deacons. And I thought this was interesting. And when they found Stephen, they found Stephen. This is what it says in Acts 6. And I'm just going to jump up to verse 3. He said, wherefore, brethren, look out ye among you seven men of honest report. That's another one qualification. Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Over this business. It's the business side of the church. I don't know what y'all see. I see Elmer getting baptized and saying he want to get baptized again. I see a deacon in training. That's what I see. When I look at Jake and I look at Dave, and we getting ready to ordain Jeremy. He ain't perfect. I don't have no perfect deacons. You don't have no perfect pastor. You don't have no perfect ushers. You don't have no perfect choir directors. Or... Amen. You got some good janitors, though. Listen, they found Stephen. Here's God's description of Stephen. I just love it. I just love it. And Stephen. Examine your faith. Just a question. And Stephen, Acts 6:8, full of faith and power. Mm-hmm. If the Holy Ghost, you get you some biblical wisdom, you get you some faith, that all comes together, and now you get some power. And what did Stephen do? He did great wonders and miracles among the people. Amen. When you do all that comes, when you get all that, you know what else you get? You get some rocks. Amen. You might get some rocks. Amen. How about examining your soul salvation? I know I'm beating on this thing a little bit, But you know what? I always say this. Next week ain't promised to me.
Amen.
I'm gonna preach this one like Stephen.
Amen.
Listen to this. In John 6:68-69, remember Jesus was walking with all the disciples and he's questioning their soul salvation. He's raising the standard. He's raising the bar. He's raising the standard because Jesus is saying, I got too many folks following me, and they follow me for the wrong reasons. He said, they follow me for miracles and what I can do. You know what? In some of our miracle ministries and our prosperity teachers, they would never raise the standard. They're lowering the standard. They're getting lower and lower. Jesus raised the standard because he looked behind and said, I got too many folks. And I know, and I know they ain't following me for the right reason. So he said, take the communion serious, folks. If you're going to follow me, you must what? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. They knew what he meant. And they said, it's a hard thing. Who can do it? And the word of God said, and they followed him no more.
Yeah.
And then he turned to the 12.
Yeah.
He turned to the 12. And this is where I said, examine your soul salvation. He turned to the 12 and said, what are you going to do? You going to leave too? And then Peter. Peter answered him and said, Lord. That's a good start of an answer when you're talking to the Lord. When you're talking to God who stepped out of glory, walking around in the flesh, it's good to address him as Lord. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. How you doing on your test? How you doing on your test? Listen, I'm going to close with these three examples of God's, of those that's going to serve God.
Amen.
And how to serve God. And again, church is full of this stuff. Full of it. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:21. You can write these down. Here's Paul. Right to the same church. Because this kind of mess was going on. It's going on in the church today. I know we got some visitors in here. This is what they get every week.
Amen.
Watch this. He's talking to this carnal church. And you know there's churches today that are patterning themselves. We got a five-fold ministry. You ever heard somebody say that? We got a five-fold ministry. What they're basically saying is we follow the precepts of the Corinthian church. So they want all the gifts. They want to be speaking in tongues. I did. I sent some stuff out. I get all kind of Yahoo emails and stuff, and T.D. Jakes was doing his tongues thing, and it was scary. It was scary. Did this thing for 15, 20 minutes just walking around. I'm a developer. I'm sitting here like, what did he get out of that? We don't do that here. If y'all join and y'all think we do that here, you join the wrong church, and you know. Listen. Paul's saying that this church, rather, he said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord in the cup of devils.
Amen.
You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Hey, that's pretty self-explanatory. I don't need to exegete that. But here's one Elijah. How did Elijah die? He didn't. He went to how did he go to heaven? In a whirlwind. Oh, you know, he stirred it up while he was on earth. He stirred it up. You know, John the Baptist, they thought he was Elijah because he was just like Elijah. Listen, here's Elijah talking to the people. And he's talking to his congregation. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long have you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.
Amen.
Ain't no middle ground in this.
Amen.
Ain't nobody straddling the fence.
Amen.
Somebody go, right now I'm not serving the Lord right now. I'm not. No, you're serving the devil.
Amen.
You did only two. You serving one or the other.
Amen.
You're not, right now I'm just not practicing Christianity. Well, you're practicing serving the devil. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
And this is what Elijah was saying to the people. How long shall you be between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal,
then follow him. And here's the people's response. And the people answered him not a word. You be careful with this stuff. This is nothing to play with. This is not an entertainment center. We're not sitting here, you know, we have a good time. But the word of God is the word of God.
Amen.
Let me give you one. The biggest 10. This is Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. And he took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put the censer thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord. How's your offering? How's your offering today? And I'm not talking about your financial offering. How's your offering today? How's your spiritual offering? Is it pleasing to the Lord, or is it some strange fire? Is it some strange fire? This is what he said. In which he commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me. The closer you walk with the Lord, the closer you walk with the Lord and study and read your Bible, the more sanctified you ought to be. There's no such thing coming to the Lord any kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have wrote saying song any way, anyhow. Be careful with that stuff.
Amen.
He says, he did this before the people, that I would be glorified. You know what Aaron did? I'm saying Aaron held his peace. And Aaron held his peace. Listen, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You know, you do this after you examine yourself. I don't want to see anybody let the cup pass them. I don't want to see anybody that's been born again and saved and baptized. You ought to partake in the communion meal. And if your life ain't right and you believe you've been living a faulty life, then take it in the sense that I'm going to get better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm not talking in the supernatural and taking the Lord's Supper. It's not a supernatural event. I believe there's power in God's house. The fact that you hear and you've heard God's word, okay? And I believe you're stronger now than you were before you came here.
Amen.
And when you leave church, any service, you ought not, your whole idea ought not to be, I feel good. Okay? We did that when we used to hear James Brown back in the day. Okay? Like I knew that I would. But when we leave church, we ought to feel stronger.
Amen.
We ought to have some word in us, and we ought to be ready to go out and face a world that's gonna ridicule us. You young ladies going to Austin Town fishing, you know, let people know I've been baptized. I'm different.
Amen.
I'm different. Watch me. That's before him. You never know. You may lead a soul to Christ just by watching your good behavior.
Amen.
What's wrong with you? I'm a child of God. Amen. Nothing to be ashamed of. I would say if you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. Take the communion today, but examine yourself. It's not the pastor's responsibility. I'm not the watchdog. The deacons aren't the watchdog. You are. The Bible says examine yourself.
Amen.
And that goes for all of us.
Yeah.
Ray, Bobby, I look at the young folks in here. Examine yourself. Pay attention to yourselves. You guys are 13, 14 years old. 2 years you'll be driving cars. Father, thank you for the word.